and welcome to the Human Condition Podcast on Resilience Radio. I'm Lee Hatcher with a quite unique opportunity to lift the veil on what does go on behind that closed psychology practice door between a psychologist and client. You'll hear Sarah Piper, a practitioner at the Resilience Centre, in a reenactment of a real-life session with her client, Robin. We've chosen that name for the purposes of confidentiality. Robin has lived with depression for many years. So how does she deal with the dark days? And how does Sarah help? We begin with Sarah setting the scene for us.
Well, today we're going to actually demystify the process of therapy and actually give you a bit of an insight into what might happen in a session. So we're going to recreate a session. I had a client who's here with me today. Her name's Robin, who I helped through a period of depression. She came in a couple of years ago looking for support through her depression and her social anxiety. Turns out she had a bit of a family history of social phobia, and the series of events, choices, etc., had accumulated for her to feel pretty dark at that time. My approach with Robin was what I term a solution-focused approach, which is based on strengths, which she might have not been able to see at that time in herself. From there, we were looking at taking little steps towards the future that she wants to have, where she wants to go. And it's just little bit by little bit looking at how small behaviours can start to change the way she feels.
Robin, this is 2 years ago. Tell us how and why you came to see Sarah.
I just started a new PhD project, and it was very stressful, and I just felt a depression coming on. I was on that edge of the precipice, looking down and thinking, oh dear, there it is again. I need to look for help when that happens. So I got referred through my GP, and Sarah came recommended, and I came in for a session, and it just felt right away.
It's a big thing to put your hand up and ask for that kind of help.
Yeah, it always feels like you're meant to do this sort of thing alone, like you shouldn't get help because everybody else is coping, but it's not. And I learned that earlier with an earlier depression. Struggling by yourself is just, it's just not good. It doesn't help. And getting help is really the fastest way out.
How did you know that Sarah, once you came to see her, was right for you? Because not every therapist is perhaps right.
Oh, no. I've had therapists in the past where within the first 5 minutes you just feel uncomfortable and not heard, and like you just, it's a personality thing. Like you just don't click. And that will never work. I have tried that before.
Yes.
And that will never work. So you have to be sure that the person you're seeing, that you click with them and that you feel sort of safe and heard and trusted with them. You trust them and, you know, you feel safe.
Now, it's important for us to say that you fully agreed without pressure or coercion to be part of this podcast. Why are you up for this, Robin?
Definitely no pressure or coercion. I was so glad to be asked, because I know that the first thing you think when you're dealing with depression, anxiety, any sort of a mental issue, is that you're alone. And the second thing you think is that you have to do it by yourself. And both of those things are very wrong. You're not alone. And I want people to know that they're not. You don't have to do it by yourself. Having therapy is doing it by yourself. And I really want people to know that it's an option, and it's a good option.
So Sarah set the scene for us for this conversation. It's important to acknowledge as well, this is just a snapshot of one particular session over a couple of years.
Yes, that's right. It's very much just 5 minutes out of a 55-minute session. It's important to say that this session was not taped. It's simply a recreation based on the notes that I wrote in one of our sessions. And it comes in kind of towards the end of a session.
Okay, I'll step aside and let you two both talk.
So, Robin, the last 6 days have been pretty horrific for you. From what you've just told me, you've really been struggling. All those feelings made you want to withdraw from everyone, even those you love. Your thoughts are pretty overwhelming, pretty hard to process. It's like everything hurts for you right now, right?
It feels like my shell is getting thinner. Even little things hurt. It's just I'm just such a disappointment to myself, and my life is turning out so different than I expected.
Yeah, life never quite turns out the way we think, hey. Sounds like everything's just tumbling down around you right now. In the midst of all this darkness, Robin, is there any time in which you've experienced some glimmers of light, even if it's just been a few seconds?
I tried. Like, last Friday, I thought I might feel better if I went to this party that my friend was having. It was a big thing just to get out of bed, and let alone out of the house. When I got there, there were so many people. And
oh, so you went out. That was a huge deal. So, okay, so it didn't work out like you expected, which is kind of how life happens sometimes. But tell me, how do you look back on that now, like the going out bit?
I mean, it was probably better than staying at home. They had nice cheese. Always ink for good cheese.
Last session, we spoke about doing things, even when we might not feel like it, and hope that the feeling will come. Was it one of those times?
Yeah, pretty much. I didn't want to, but I guess I knew I'd feel worse if I didn't do anything. Speaking of wanting to, by the way, I did try to do that thing that we talked about last session, you know, asking myself, what do I really want?
Oh, wow. You did? I wasn't going to go near that topic today once I'd heard about your past few days and how dire things have been.
Well, you know, this is before things got bad, so like midweek last week.
Oh, okay. So mid last week, you had something you wanted to do? I'd love to hear about it.
Well, I'd finished an appointment in the city, and I wondered what I should do next, and your question popped into my mind, and I sort of focused on it really hard.
Uh-huh. What did you do?
I thought, I love books, so I just went to my favorite bookshop, and I bought a book that I really wanted, and then I came out, and there was the smell of bagels, and it just smelled so good. And so I just got one, and it was awesome.
Yeah, bagels are great when they're just hot. Can you remember, Robin, if you can you remember any feelings that you had at the time?
Well, after, I was pretty grateful that I'd made a decision and then followed through on it. I felt like I really did something, you know, and I sort of allowed myself to indulge in something, and I felt like I was being, you know, nice to myself, and felt nice. I kind of hated myself less.
So grateful, and you felt kind to yourself. They're pretty different emotions to the negative ones that have been overwhelming you a lot recently.
Yeah, I guess.
I recall that you described those hard feelings last session as like a ball and chain, but that it was attached to your head.
Yeah.
Something that weighs you down, this ball and chain, slows you down, can't get rid of it. Tell me, where was that ball and chain when you were in the bookshop and eating your bagel?
I wasn't aware of it at the time. I mean, I guess it was tucked away somewhere. Not near my head, anyway.
Not near your head? How do you know that?
Because I could think clearly. Well, clearly enough to want a book and a bagel anyway.
And how was that for you?
Nice. I mean, I enjoyed it while it lasted. The next day, though, the ball and chain, like, were back, and everything was just dark.
Yeah. Depression can be like that sometimes. Pretty much all the time, actually. It just wants you to feel awful, hopeless, until you feel totally powerless. Tell me, looking back further into your week, did you notice any other want-to times?
Well, I cooked a nice meal one evening. I haven't cooked for weeks. Oh, and my partner and I went out, and I bought him an ice cream without even asking, just because I felt like it.
And how did that feel inside for you?
Well, lighter? Like, for a moment, I was looking up and out.
That wasn't easy, what you did. I bet it took a lot of energy, a lot of focus. But in the end, it kind of sounds like it paid off. Ah, look at the time. We've got to bring this session to a close. So how do you think it's been for us today?
Well, it's kind of interesting how different I feel now as compared to earlier. I mean, when we're focusing on the negative stuff. I'd really like it if we could keep talking about this, these lighter moments, you know, the bits where I feel light. It kind of helps.
Do you think you could keep watching out for those lighter moments?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I'll even try and, like, make those happen.
Okay. Well, no need to put pressure on yourself. Just when and if they happen. And even if things are still tough and the lighter moments are hard to come by, that's okay. It can be normal sometimes with what you're going through. The point is, you're keeping your eye out.
Yeah. I mean, looking up and out, like we said, up and out. We'll see you next week.
Okay, thanks, Robin. Bye. Good to see you.
You're listening to the Human Condition Podcast. You've just heard a reenactment of a real-life therapy session with psychologist Sarah Piper and her client, Robin. So as these conversations and therapy have progressed, how have things changed for Robin?
I find therapy, and therapy with Sarah has always been very pleasant. It's always a sort of an hour in the week that you really get to work on the stuff that's bothering you, which also leaves you free for the rest of the week. Usually I just bother myself going, I should be working on myself and I should be fixing this. And instead, I had allocated an hour a week where I could go and fix things. And it was something I tended to look forward to. Now the steps, they're hardly steps that you notice. It's weird. You sort of get these ideas and bits of advice or little insights that you come to during the sessions, and they sort of sit in your brain for a bit and they come to some sort of fruition. It just happens sort of organically that while you're in this therapy, a couple of months later, you just find yourself less crappy. Can I say crappy?
Yeah. You can say anything. Let me ask you about one particular kind of dynamic of this, and that's self-talk. What have you learnt about self-talk? Perhaps explain briefly what that is.
Self-talk is the sort of things that you say to yourself in your head. So, oh, you're such an idiot for forgetting your mom's birthday, or, oh, you know, you should be better at this than you are. That really came out in therapy. It's not something you usually talk about, not me anyway. And it turned out there's so much self-talk. There's so many things that you say to yourself in your head. And I found that self-talk can be either your best friend or your worst enemy, because you can say nice things in your head as well. You have to train yourself, but you can. And what's really, really important is to be aware of your self-talk. So at least you know which one you have in your head today, your enemy or your friend.
Sarah, tell us about the kind of hurdles that are there for people who need help, but who may struggle to take that step to seek it in the first place.
I think some of the major hurdles, Lee, are that people will often jump to the conclusion that, oh, how is that going to help? And often people, when they're having a trouble in life, are often thinking negatively anyway. So they're just going to jump to the conclusion of it's not going to help.
Won't work. Yeah.
The other hurdle, I think, is hearing about negative experiences of other people who may have tried therapy and it didn't work for them. Or maybe many years ago, they went to maybe a school counsellor or another therapist in some other way and it didn't work.
Who, as Robin said, may not be the one, as you two have clicked together.
Correct, yeah. Mm. It's like not every therapist is going to be right for every client. Mm. And I think that's what I like about working here at the Resilience Centre, is because we have a whole range of therapists, different genders, different ages, different experience, expertise. And if we don't think that we are completely suited, then we can also recommend somebody who we feel like is a better fit. The other big hurdle is that people can feel a lot of shame about getting help. They Yes. often feel, I should be able to deal with this, or they might even think, actually, nothing that bad has happened to me. Why do I feel so bad, awful?
Mm. Yes.
And I just want to say there that, you know, we all have a pain in our life, but sometimes we layer suffering and suffering upon that to make the pain even worse than it has to be. I think we make heavy work of things sometimes, and I think a therapist can often help.
Oh, I'm sure. Now, as we've heard even in your snapshot of a conversation, this journey is not always a smooth one. So it's no kind of quick fix necessarily, or a smooth kind of trajectory up. There are still ups and downs in this process.
That's right. There are a whole lot of undulations that we will go through in a therapy process, just like we'll go through in life. So I like to see the process as a journey where the client can trust and respect their therapist and be brutally honest with them. Sometimes people just come in and think it'll be just one session, quick fix. They don't often realise that it takes a while to make a change.
And it's work, actually, on both therapists' and clients' part.
It is work, yeah. Absolutely, yeah. And I think that people who maybe find it difficult after one or two sessions do find themselves evaluating, am I really ready for this? Am I up for this? Mm. And that's okay if they're not. Maybe we'll see them in a year or two.
Yeah. Robin, you've taken the hugely significant step of setting up a website called Handle With Car, K-A-R, for good reason it's spelled like that, to help people who are in a similar place to where you've been. Tell us a bit about it.
Well, it all sort of started with this friend of mine who was going through depression, a pretty deep one, and I made sure to call her every day just to check that she was all right. And I ended up coming up with these insane, fantastic metaphors and similes to try and both sort of make her laugh and also help her out, like the Spider-Man underpants metaphor and the relationship vegetable metaphor. And I found that they were kind of reminders how I've dealt with things and reminders for me for when I felt like that. And I knew that I would forget when I got back to the dark place, which, you know, can always happen. So I thought I'd write them down. And then I thought, well, if I can write these down for myself, I might as well write them down for other people as well.
It's a wonderful resource, even if it's only to find what you mean by the spider metaphor. Head to that site. Sarah, as the professional, what would you say about the website? It's got some really important things to say.
About Spider-Man underpants as well.
Yes.
Yes, Robin has some great things to say in this website. She has a big range of topics, mostly under the umbrella of kind of I'm not feeling okay, I need to treat myself with care. She's sharing what it's like to be experiencing dark days. She's not telling you what to do. It's her personal sharing of what she's found helpful. I think it's also important to say it doesn't act as a therapist and it shouldn't be used as a substitute for therapy. What I've also really liked to see is some of what she's written don't always seem to be from therapy. Often it's from her own life experience and experimenting with different behaviours and how that makes her feel.
And people plugging into the website know that they're not alone. I think that's a huge thing as well.
A very, very comforting for people, I think. You know, some people will really appreciate her sense of humour and no. I think it's just the way her strengths really shine through in that.
Finally, Sarah, can I ask you for your advice just briefly to anyone listening who may at this moment be where Robin was before she put her hand up for help? What would you say to them?
I would say you don't have to do this alone. Despite past experiences or what you've heard, therapy is worth trying. Change is hard, but it's much harder alone. So a therapist can be a great confidential support person.
And therapy is just a great tool for helping yourself. And people always think that when you go to therapy, you're not doing it alone. And that's not the case. It's still work. You're still doing it. It's just that you're using the best tools available. Therapy is often seen as this crutch, as the sign of weakness, and it's using your strengths to the best way you can possibly use them.
What a fabulous last word. In such a unique and important conversation in this podcast, Sarah and Robin, thank you so much indeed for your time.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Human Condition Podcast. I'm Lee Hatcher. Robin's website is Handle With Car, one word, and it's K-A-R. And there are lots of other conversations and resources on the Resilience Centre website. Head to www.theresiliencecentre.com.au.